Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word, Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. I have a lot going on here. You probably just heard me say quiet. My grandkids are downstairs and they are making a lot of noise. Amen. But Jesus, God is still in control, amen, and he gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding, amen, hallelujah. I worship him today. We have to worship him today, amen, because he's worthy, amen. So I'm going to, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You shed your blood for me.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to let this play for a minute while I talk to my children, and I will be right back. Stay with me. Praise the Lord. A woman's job is never done. Amen. A woman's job is never done. We have to continually be women. Amen. And do what we do, which is raise our children and sometimes our grandchildren. We have to be wives. We have to take care of the home. We have to be business women. We have to do what we do, but thank God for Jesus, because he enables us to continually do what what God has ordained for us to do. Amen. Amen. And I want to welcome you to the program, welcome you to the broadcast. Let's talk about God. No, actually, this is Woman to Woman on Power in the Word. Amen. Woman to Woman, I want to welcome all of you who are streaming and those of you in the chat room. Amen. And those of you who are listening to the archive. Amen. I just want to welcome you here and just continue to be encouraged as we go forward. Amen. God is good all of the time, and all of the time God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Amen. And praise God. So let us pray, and then we're going to get right into this program. is a good woman really hard to find. And I want to talk to some good women out there about being good women, amen, what it is that you believe a good woman is. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, I praise your name. I worship you. I magnify your name. I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. Lord, you are worthy. You are so worthy to be praised, and I worship you today, God. I thank you for being in my life. I thank you for being my Savior, my Lord, my friend, my Redeemer, my equipper. I thank you for being the one who empowers me, and the one who encourages me, the one who has set purpose before me. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in my life and all that you will continue to do. I pray for each and every person who is tuned in today. I pray, Father God, that you will bless them, Father God, that you will touch them, that you will heal them, that you will deliver them, that you will speak to them, God, that you will, Father God, do what it is that you have already ordained to do in their lives. Give them peace. Even in the middle of the storm, Lord, give them strength to go on and give them the courage and the faith to know that you are God and that they can trust you and give it all to you, even in the middle of what appears to be like impossibility, appears to be the impossibilities of life. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. God bless you, Marriage Talk. God bless you, Lady Renee. It's so good to see you. God bless you. It's good to see you both here, both of you women of God, in the chat room. Amen. And we're talking about being a good woman today. I was having a conversation. Pastor Anthony is my co-host on Tuesdays on Power in the Word. And we were talking about being a good woman. We had a caller, Sean, Brother Sean, to be enlightened, called in, and he said that he had given up on finding a wife because he didn't think that there were any good women out there. From what he was seeing, it didn't appear to be anyone out there that could be wife material. So today I wanted to come back and talk about it. I wanted to talk about the fact that there are some good women out there, and I want to talk to you about it. So the phone lines are open. I see that we already have a caller, and we're going to put that caller on the air. One thing that you'll notice about me lately is that I'm not coming, and I pray that I've always been doing this, but lately if I'm asking God to help me to relax, I want him to help me to let go and to let him have his way. I want to come to you in total transparency, letting you know what I have come through so that you can be comforted knowing that if I made it through, that you can make it through. I really want to be honest and open and naked with the women to let you know that there's nothing that you can be facing today that can take you out, that can take you under unless you let it, unless you allow it to. I want to encourage you in your marriage, in your ministry, in your money issues, in your faith, you know, in your finances, every area of your walk with God, especially on Thursdays, on Woman to Woman. I want to encourage you in every area of your walk with God so that you can be victorious. Amen. So that's what you're sensing. If I'm a little, if I'm not trying to dot every I and cross every T, that's intentional because I don't want to be rigid. Amen. I want to flow. I want to relax and flow with the Spirit. Amen. So expect anything on these Thursdays that we're here. Amen. Expect anything from God. Amen. Expect anything from God. Lady Renee, God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. It is so great to be here. How are you?
You know, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord, and I mean that. I really
Amen.
Mean that.
Hallelujah.
You know, and I say that because I feel like sometimes lately I've been in a pressure cooker, and I realized that the Lord will allow pressure to come on you in life to get the bad stuff out and to increase the good, to bring to light the good stuff. You know, he wants to develop me. And, you know, I was like thinking I was already, I was thinking I was already developed to a certain extent. But you know what? God is never finished with us.
Yes, amen. Amen.
He is never finished with us. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm blessed, and I praise God, and I mean, I could truly echo those sentiments, sis.
Amen.
Pastor Rebecca, really, I can echo those sentiments. God knows how to get, you know, his character, his very nature up, you know, out of us by getting rid of the old. Sometimes you think you have, you know, that you have
arrived.
Oh, he has a way of showing us that, oh, no, 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 no. And sometimes we have been, you know, you find that you could find that you have been escaping. And God is saying, I'm still after this right here. So I thank God that he doesn't give up on us. Amen.
Wow. That's a good word. Because sometimes we do coast by. And we feel like, okay, God's going to let me hold on to this. I'm tithing, I'm going to church, I'm reading the Bible, I'm praying, I'm being nice to people. As long as things are going my way, I'm easy to get along with. But don't you dare cross me, because then something ugly is going to come out. And that's what God wants to take from me, because I'm tough. You know, I grew up tough. All my life I had to fight.
Oh, my goodness.
And I grew up tough, you know, and I've been hurt even in church. So I get to the point where I'm like, don't cross me. And I find myself being on guard, and God is constantly telling me to relax, relax.
Yes, amen, amen. I found myself wrestling with God. You know, and God is winning. He's winning. I'm like, God, I don't want to wrestle anymore. I want to just surrender.
Amen.
I want to surrender. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, stay with me, Lady Renee. I missed you.
Yes, I missed you too.
Amen. Stay with me. We have another call.
Amen.
The Stewards, God, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Amen. God bless you. Maybe you're calling in to listen. If you're calling to listen, that's fine. God bless you. God bless you. The Stewards Guide, would you like to be on the air? Okay, I guess that person is just calling to listen. So we'll just get them muted out, and we'll keep talking. And the marriage talk is laughing at me, because I said all my life I had to fight. And it's so true, you know, all my life I had to fight. That's from the Color Purple. But the thing about it is, we never, just because we become Christians and we're born again under the blood, we never have the right to stop fighting. The fight doesn't stop just because we're saved. Right, Lady Renee? And I think we're having a problem with that, that a lot of people think that once we become Christian that life is supposed to be easy.
No, in fact, I believe, Pastor Rebecca, that it just intensifies the fight. You know, the fight begins. That's when the battle begins.
Wow. Wow. And it's no longer physical, because I actually had to have physical fights. I grew up in Newark over here in New Jersey, and we grew up in the hood, what people would call the ghetto. And all of my life, you know, I was nice. I was nice. I would not bother with people, but people would always find a way to pick on me. I was too black. I was too skinny. I was too ugly in their eyes, so they called me names, and they wanted to fight. And the thing about it is, I didn't bother anyone, but if you bothered me, then you were definitely in for a fight. And God took that same characteristic and brought it into the kingdom, where now it's no longer a physical fight, where I'm not fighting any longer against flesh and blood, but now it's a spiritual fight against the principalities, you know, the wickedness and high places. And I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior for Christ. I will not stop fighting.
Amen.
But we have to know who our enemies are.
Yes, and it's never the people, praise God.
Exactly, amen, never the people, praise God.
Can I say something, Pastor Rebecca, right quick?
If absolutely.
I could, let me tell you, I was talking to one of my girlfriends last night, and I said, you know, when I was little, people picked on me. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn in the ghetto also, and people picked on me because I was extremely light, so I was called white girl, and I was always skinny. So it was like white girl, flat-chested, bony. So I really had it bad growing up. And, you know, my girlfriend said to me, she said, that's okay if you look like olive oil. Papa and Judas loved her. And I just started cracking up. You know, she said she had two men that love her.
That's
that
right, Papa and
Blue.
And Marriage Talk says, thank God for the ghetto.
Yes.
Thank God for the ghetto because it taught us a lot and helped make us what we are today.
Is that not the truth? Yes.
And we have to know that Jesus Christ came from the ghetto because what did they say? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come from there?
Yes. Amen.
So
amen.
God knows he takes the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yes, and then he knows where he's taking us, and he knows who he's taking us to. And based upon the people that he's calling us to minister to, you know, we have to, there's a certain demeanor that is going to be beneficial for us to have to reach those people.
Yes.
You know, so I believe that whatever environment you came in, you know, that you grew up in, it was necessary for where God would take you eventually.
Amen. Hey, I believe that too, because the Bible does tell us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So everything that you've been through has been according to his purpose. You know, God already knows, and I stole this from a preacher. They say if you say it more than three times, it's yours, and I've said it about 10 times. He already knows your ending from the beginning. The preacher said that God stands at the end and starts from the beginning. So he already knows. What is it? Proverbs, Psalms 139. David says, before I even lived a day, every one of them was written in your book.
Yeah.
See, God's already written the book. He's already written the story. We just have to follow the blueprint. We have to follow. We have to read the book and then be led by the Spirit to have God's plan fulfilled in our lives.
Amen.
But, you know, Lady Renee, I wanted to talk about being a good woman. Tuesday, we were talking with To Be Enlightened. Marriage Talk was here. And he was talking about there are no good women, being discouraged because there don't seem to be any good women out there. And I realized that there are a lot of us out there, but we need to come to the forefront. And be able to shine some light on this subject for those women who are not quite there, but God's getting them to be on their way there. So I wanted to talk about being a good woman and being a good wife even, because a lot of good women are married. You know, a lot of us are already married, and we're not to be found, but sometimes we find ourselves slipping into old habits, you know, and we're not really being that good wife either. So I wanted to talk about that today. And, you know, do you consider yourself to be a good woman, Lady Renee?
Yes, I do. By the grace of God, I certainly consider myself to be a good woman and a great catch. Praise be to God.
I have to ask you what makes you think that you're a good woman?
Well, I would have to say because I'm somebody that, Jesus Christ is truly my personal Lord and Savior, and also because I discovered, you know, what his purpose for my life is. So, therefore, it allows me to walk in a peace because I've come to accept the whole me, the good, bad, and the indifferent, if I could say that. And I've embraced all of who I am, and I learned how to truly forgive myself, so therefore it allows me to render mercy and even grace to someone else. I'm not going to be a competitive woman because I'm at peace with who God has called me to be. I'm not trying to flow in an anointing that, you know, it's not mine to flow in. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I have learned to be, or should I say, allowing the fruits of the Holy Spirit to really be cultivated in my life, and not just the peace, but the patience and the long suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the ones that we kind of forget about, the forbearance and the temperance. And God is teaching me that. And so I believe that because I really began to truly understand who God has called me to be, it makes me better know how I could be of assistance to that man of God.
My God.
What I mean? And without competing with him and without feeling if I'm enough, do I measure up? I know I make a difference when I show up, and I don't say that in arrogance. I say that with great humility, you know?
Amen. Well, that sounds like the Proverbs 31 woman to me, you know, because I was reading that today, and it says a wife, this was King Lemuel's mother, and she was teaching him about some things pertaining to having, you know, the good life, a quality life. And she was telling him, you know, about not drinking too much wine and not spending his time, you know, with women, the loose women and things of that nature. But then she went on to tell him about a wife of noble character. And she talked about all of these qualifications, you know, that her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. He praises her. And then it goes on to say that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you just listed some of those characters, a lot of them, and you spoke with wisdom. And also, you know, you talked about peace, and you talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Which a lot of women, I believe that we're so busy with adorning. We're trying to catch a man by what's on the outside, and we're not realizing that what's more important to that man, as Sean spoke about on Tuesday, is what's on the inside. My God, my God.
Ooh, yes, and Pastor Rebecca, my friend, a brother in Christ, you know, he shared with me, he said he was talking about the inner beauty that he saw in me. He said, Renee, that is very, very attractive. That's more of beautiful than the physical. And
my
he said,
God.
How could you teach women, how could you make women see that that's more important? He said, because he found in his church that the women are either for one extreme to the next. In other words, perhaps, you know, she's just you know, taking care of her outer self, but she hasn't done anything for the inner, the character. You don't see Christ. Or
wow.
You see them go to the other extreme where they're getting ugly for Jesus. And, you know, that looks depressing. That's not attractive.
wait a minute. Did you say?
Yes, I'm serious.
No, I've been there, so I can totally relate to that where they're getting ugly for Jesus. And that sometimes that's a transition, too, because when I first got saved, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I stripped off all of the – I didn't know what to wear because everything that I wore in the world was tight and short, you know, and revealing. And I dressed like that to go to the bar. Now I put on a suit to go to corporate America, and I was decent in corporate America because I was climbing up the corporate ladder, and I knew what to wear to be appropriate for where I was going. So I put on a suit for corporate America, and I have to say, when I went to the club, I put on what I have to call them slut clothes. Because, I mean, it was like nothing to be left to the imagination with the short skirt and the blouse with the cleavage. And most of the time my blouses were off the shoulder. I wasn't really a big cleavage type person. But everything had to be short and tight. And those were catch clothing. That was the clothing that I wore to catch the attention of the men in the club.
Wow.
So when I came to church, oh, my God. The Holy Spirit is awesome because he let me know even before I became a Christian that I couldn't wear my catch clothes to church.
Amen.
You know, he let me know, now somebody needs to grab this. I couldn't wear the clothes that I wore to the nightclub to church. I mean, I could have because you do see some of that in church today, but it wasn't appropriate.
Yeah.
So he had me put on, I had one long skirt in my closet and a jacket that covered everything, and that's what I wore on my first day of church. And the Lord taught me how to dress. He really, really taught me how to dress. So when I got saved, I stripped off everything that I used to wear and put on, like, it was like a potato sack. I tell you, it was like a potato sack, and nothing was touching anything. No curves were touched, and you couldn't see that I even had a figure. And I came off and wore very little makeup. I did keep wearing lipstick, but just I didn't want any attention. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, amen. Like what Juanita Bynum said. She said she wanted somebody to love her for her, so she wanted herself covered up. She didn't want them to be attracted to the hips and the breast and the this and the that.
But yes.
My experience was, you know, a lot of times people felt that because you were light-skinned and you were small that you would be so into yourself, so you had to be arrogant and conceited. And I purposed in my heart that I was going to work on just as much as building my inner character as I would my outer. You
Amen.
Follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, on purpose, I sold on the inside, you know, making sure that I got the word, that I would blow the mind of people with the goodness of God, letting it come from the inside out by, you know, they're surprised that, you know, I could walk up to you and say, have a great day, or you look really nice, or celebrate you, like, on purpose.
Yes.
You know, and
exactly.
That became, you know, I decided to let God have his way in that area. So that's where that inner beauty came from. It was a decision that I made to allow God to have his way so that no one would feel threatened by my presence.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because men are turned off by the ugliness that comes out of our mouths, you know, and our attitude. We don't even have to say anything. Jesus said that out of the overflow of a man's heart, he speaks, you know.
Yes,
and we have to realize that you can be the most beautiful person on the outside, but when you open your mouth or just by the way that you carry yourself, you can be portraying ugliness.
Yes,
you know?
And I know a lot of people like that, unfortunately. I really do. And it's just ugly. It doesn't make me envy them, want to be like them, because it really makes them look ugly on the outside, you know, when you see that personality come out.
Yeah, and a lot of it, I must say, we're picking up from television. You know, a lot of women are portraying what they see, you know, because we haven't been taught. And like you said, your friend told you the truth, that this is something that needs to be taught. The Bible tells, Titus tells the older women to teach the younger women how to be, you know, and how to dress modestly. You know, Marriage Talk, when I was talking about the catch clothes and the slut clothes, she said they were hoochie mama clothes.
Yes.
And I want to come back to this because a lot of women dress like this on a daily basis. I mean, I dress like that to go to the club.
Mm-hmm.
But and I want to welcome to Be Enlightened to the broadcast today. God bless you, Sean, Brother Sean. That's the brother that we were talking about earlier today. We've been talking about you to Be Enlightened. But I dress like that to go to the club, and you find a lot of women dress like that during the broad daylight.
But you know, Pastor Rebecca, I believe, see, when my friend said that to me, what I began to realize is that I believe that God wants that coming from the men that's ministering.
And my God.
They're coming. In other words, I can't reach the woman like that to tell her that's something to be desired. But when she sees the brothers desiring that inner beauty and not lusting after the outer beauty, that's when they'll get it. See, it has to, I believe it has to truly come from the men. When they see that, that kind of dress and things are getting them that attention, then that's going to be encouraging to them because it's actually, you know, it's very like, you know, come on, you know, well, this must not be bad. I mean, the pastor is drooling after me. I'm getting all this attention because they don't know the difference between positive and negative attention, you know, especially not when they're just coming from the world, making that transition.
Right.
So, you know, when the brothers begin to truly allow God to minister to their hearts and strip them of that lust and things like that, where they truly begin to desire the inner beauty, then those women would get the message, I believe, and begin to clean up when they see that the ones that the brother is marrying is not Hoochie Coochie Susie, but, wow, you know, he chose Virtuous Mary, the one that was dressing in moderation and carried herself well. She may not have been the most beautiful woman, you know, physically, but she kept herself up, and but the quality that she exuded from the inside out spoke volumes, and he just had
Amen.
To have that.
Amen.
So when they see men, you know, in the church we're talking about, you know, desiring
yes.
that, I believe that that can have such a powerful effect on the women that they begin to get themselves together.
Wow. And again, it has to be taught, and it has to be communicated. So in other words, the men have to be taught. That's Titus also, I believe, or maybe 2 Timothy, where it talks about, I think it's Titus, tells the men to treat the women as sisters.
Yes,
you know, to treat them with respect, but that has to be taught. You don't hear too many sermons on that. My husband did something that I thought was beautiful. We went to New York to see a play, a Broadway play last month, and while we were over there, all of the women were naked. I mean, when I say naked, I mean that their nakedness was exposed. Parts of the body that should not be exposed were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible is clear. It talks about let no one see your, you know, your neck, not to look on the nakedness, especially I think it's the book of, it's Old Testament, and you probably can help
Leviticus,
me with this.
Probably.
Leviticus, right. Leviticus talks about not looking on the nakedness of your daughter, your sister, somebody else's wife. It talks about not looking on the nakedness of others. But I have to say that I didn't see anything in the Leviticus about revealing the nakedness, but I did see a couple of scriptures about dressing modestly for women, for us to be able to dress with modesty.
Yeah.
Because what I saw in New York, my husband told the church on that Sunday, we went there out Saturday night, and he told the church that if some women would have bent over, everything would have been showing, front and back. It was just that bad.
Yes.
It was just that bad. And now this is in the world. So he exhorted our women to be careful, you know, and I love this about my husband. He is truly a man of God. He exhorted the women in our congregation, and we have a great congregation. I love our members. They are, I mean, my God, they are so faithful, and they're fruitful, amen. They are all of them are bearing fruit.
Amen.
He exhorted the women to be careful about the cleavage area. And
right.
About the skirt length. Really didn't mention the skirt length, but he said to be very careful about that front area. He said because men are men, and he said the men need to stay saved.
Yes,
he said they
amen.
Can't. They need to keep their mind on Jesus. Amen.
Right,
they can't be looking at our flat. You know, because that's a beautiful
right.
thing. It's a woman is beautiful.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and that. That's beautiful, you know. Our flesh is beautiful. God created us that way. But
yes.
some things were not meant for anyone to see but our husbands.
And that's the truth. And another thing, too, that is so right. And when the women, as well as the men, like, really get in order, like, the closer you get to God, the more you want to please him, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in your life, he begins to check you. You would feel totally out of place in church with a little cleavage showing. You
yeah.
would feel out of place with a skirt that's way up there. I mean, you know, he totally will, you know, how you say it, Pastor Rebecca, like, you know, change you from the inside out. For
yes.
me,
yes.
Even in a dress, you would get convicted. Like, I can't wear them hot pants, you know?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Because if you, well, for me, it's different, I think, than some women who were raised in church. Because I wasn't raised in church. And
yeah.
so I know what certain clothes do to men. Yeah, I learned. I read a book when I was 15 that I had no business reading, and it talked about dressing seductively.
Mm-hmm.
The book taught me how. Now, can you believe this?
Yes.
The book that I read in the world taught me how to dress seductively so that I would be a sensual woman,
mm-hmm.
so that men would fall all over themselves just by watching me walk.
Yeah.
Or listening to me talk. I mean, this book was just, and I never had a problem getting a man. I will not say the name of this book because I don't endorse it. The book that I endorse today is the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
The Bible taught me how to be a real woman. My God.
Come on.
My
Come
God.
On.
The Bible taught me how to be a real woman, a woman of discretion.
Yes.
You know, a woman with mystique, you know.
Yes.
You have to make, let's just say this, you have to make a man wonder what's underneath your clothes. You can't be showing them all. Don't show everything that you have. Give him something to wonder about, you know?
But nowadays, the fashion designers are coming out with lingerie that they wear outside because their designs are inspired by the devil. You know, and so now you have, you know, I mean, look at it. Look at these short, I call it their shirts, but this is what they're wearing as a skirt, as a dress.
As a dress. Yeah, you,
oh,
I know.
Oh, my God.
That's
my
another
God.
Thing my husband talked about because he went into the store with me. He went
mm-hmm.
shopping with me to try to find a blouse to wear to New York that night.
Wow.
And everything that you put on reveals your cleavage.
Yeah.
Everything. So. I improvise. I bought a blouse, and instead of putting, you know, it has the things where your, you know, that area would sit, it would rest in that area.
Right.
I
right.
put it above that area and let it be a little bit, made it like a ruffle above that area. Made my own design.
Right.
I made my own design. See, we don't have to be conformed to the things of this world.
No, we don't. We
don't. Can make our own style and still be beautiful. Amen.
Right. We need some Christian designers because
whoa,
a lot
wow.
of the clothes, the
wow.
clothes,
oh my God.
Even for the men, if you really look at it, they're making men look like homosexuals. I mean,
yeah,
tight,
metrosexual.
Tight pants that's coming and out now, the different colors that used to be, you know, just designated to women are now,
yeah, flip flops,
wearing pink and everything.
Have
oh.
you seen the men with flip flops?
Oh, no.
that blows my mind.
Oh, my God.
That blows
my
mind when I see men with flip-flops. Now, I saw a hardcore rapper, rap artist with flip-flops on the other day, and I couldn't keep my eyes off of his feet.
Wow, but you see what I'm saying? Because a lot of those things are really, I'm telling you, if you look at the designers, the ones that are really coming out and making a difference in the world,
they're homosexual.
They are gay.
Yeah,
that's
they're
right.
gay. They're gay. And,
yes.
and you know, I want to say one more thing about the way that we dress as women. I watched a movie the other day, A Good Man is Hard to Find.
Oh, I love that movie. I really
yeah.
love
Did you see
too.
How the deacon's wife and the pastor's daughter were dressed?
Oh,
Did
yes.
you catch that?
Yes, yes.
It made it seem like it was okay
mm-hmm.
for women to in the church to dress seductively.
Right, and it's not.
And without discretion.
Mm.
The lady that played on Girlfriends.
Yes,
I mean, oh, my God, every single outfit that she wore, I was like, now, listen, I have to say this. Somebody might say, well, Pastor Rebecca, Lady Renee, you two, you're just being prudish.
No.
You're prudes, you're old, you're ugly, but let me tell you, we're nowhere near old, and
okay.
neither one of us is ugly.
That's right.
You know, we were beautiful women, and we know that. We don't boast on ourselves. We boast on what the Lord has done because he created us wonderfully. And fearfully made.
That's right. So
I want to say, no, that's not the problem. We're not jealous. We know both of us are beautiful. We're not jealous.
We're trying to help.
We're really trying to help you to be a woman of humility, a woman of modesty, a woman of discretion, a woman of noble character.
Yes.
As King Lemuel's mother said, a woman of noble character who can find. A marriage to her. God bless you, woman of God. She said, help us, Pastor.
Yes,
we're trying to help you here because, look, let me tell you like this. Men, I just have to keep it real. Let me keep it real. That's what I've been doing lately. The Lord has admonished me to keep it real.
Amen.
Men are physical beings.
Yes,
they're physical. I don't care, pastor, apostle, bishop, deacon, pupils, elder, whatever. Men are physical beings. They are turned on by what they see with their eyes. It takes training for a man to bounce his eyes. My husband tells me about this, that he teaches men to bounce their eyes. It takes training for a man to bounce his eyes off of flesh that he knows he has no business looking at, nakedness that he knows he has no business looking at. There's something that jumps. It goes from a man's brain down to his loins, okay?
Right.
Where a man will become erect even by just looking on somebody's nakedness that's over somebody. If you're overexposed, you can make a man lust after you. You can give a man a penile erection by looking on your nakedness. I just have to put it out there like that. So you now are causing that man to sin. By the way that you're uncovering yourself, by the way that you're not covering yourself. And I don't say this in condemnation. I say this, again, as an instructor, as a teacher, as a leader in the kingdom of God, to say that you cannot in good conscience continue to dress like that once you've heard the truth.
That's right.
And perhaps you have not heard the truth. I know I was a seductress. Let me tell you, I'm telling you from the mouth of someone who was a seductress. I know how to turn a man on, and I know what turns men on and flesh. Boobs exposed. Too much to die. Exposed. The potential of getting a glimpse of your panties, that turns a man on. Sitting in the front pew with a short dress on with your legs gapped open, it will turn a man on. He can be the preacher. He can be the most anointed preacher in the world, but you are causing him to sin if you continue to dress like this. Amen. So I just had to put it out there like that. Amen.
To
say that men are they're flesh and blood. They wake up in the middle of the night and they have an erection for no reason. Nobody's touched them. Nobody's done anything to them. So we want to make sure
Yes.
We want to make sure that we are being presented, that we're presenting ourselves with dignity and grace and
yes.
modesty so
yes.
that we can be the woman that he will take home to mama. Now,
yes.
what you do in your home with your husband is a whole, in your bedroom,
that's
is a
right.
whole different story. You can swing
that's
from the
right.
chandeliers, jump off the dresser, wherever,
that's
wherever.
Right. That's
right.
But lingerie, you want to
wear that
between y'all.
Yeah,
know?
Put that, yes.
But
put that stuff off for your husband.
Yes, amen.
And let me
yes.
just say this. I'm a woman. I am a heterosexual woman. I have never had any interest in being with a woman. And let me say it like
amen.
This. I can't help but see it. I can't help but look when I see nakedness exposed.
Yes.
How
amen.
Can I expect my husband to help it? I can't blame him if he's looking twice. How can I expect the man not to see it if I'm a woman and I see it? I
yes.
can't help but see it. So he can't help but see it. Some
that's
people
right.
tell him not to look there.
No,
he don't have to look. He's supposed to be saved. He's supposed to be the pastor. He's supposed to be the deacon. But he can't help it.
They have
you
to
know?
Remember we are triune beings, honey. We have a spirit. We are a spirit. We live in a body. And we have a soul, mind,
amen.
Will, and emotions, okay?
Amen.
No such thing as tell them not to look. Why are you coming to church dressed like that?
Amen. And if you know better, you have to do better. See, you may not have known any better, but if you hear this, faith comes by hearing and
yes.
hearing the word of God. If you hear the truth, then you have to be the truth.
Amen.
Because we are, Jesus is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus has given us the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Amen. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, reveals to us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if the Holy Ghost, you look in the mirror, look in the front. If you see, I tell people, you see a crack in the front or the crack in the back, you have on the wrong clothing.
Amen.
It's time to change.
And Pastor Rebecca, you know, if I might say also, you know, I would like to just say examine your motives. You know, okay, if you know that you came to church, your skirt is way too short, or, you know, you have all this cleavage, why are you sitting in the front like that? I mean, you know, to me, it can border on are you, you know, is this a seducing spirit? You know what I mean?
Yes. Examine your motives.
The man of God. So I believe that, you know, we are to ask ourselves, you know, when we're putting things on to come to church, you know, wait a minute, let me check that cleavage. You know, you see my cleavage. You
yeah.
know, what am I getting out of going to church like this? Am I looking for, you know, to be encouraged today and you know, uplifted? Or am I looking to, you know what I'm saying, to
yeah.
get into something that I don't have any business?
Or even, okay, let me take it a step further. Lady Renee's being nice. Here comes Pastor Rebecca.
Okay.
Not even just going to church. Anywhere
yes.
that
yes.
you go, to the
yes.
supermarket, to the
yes.
Mall, to the
yes.
corporate America, don't dress one way in the church and dress another way in the world.
Amen.
Because we are in the world, but we're not of this world. And the Bible tells us, Paul exhorts us in Romans 12:1, not to be conformed any longer to the things
yes.
of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to think differently about who we are. Who are you? You are a woman of noble character.
Amen.
And everything in your life has to now line up with that. I declare that you are a woman of noble character. And everything in your life has to line up with that. You're already a good thing. You don't
yes.
have to be found. You don't have to wear catch clothes or hoochie mama clothes or what I earlier said, slut clothes, to catch a man. The man is going to be won over by your inner beauty. And Peter talks about that in 2 Peter. I have to go to that. You know, because we have to realize that you're already beautiful. You know, I had a man, Lady Renee, and the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. But Lady Renee, you know, I was in corporate America. I worked at Merrill Lynch for 18 years before
yes.
I retired early, at an early age, at age 40. But I worked at Merrill Lynch for 18 years, and I didn't know any better. I told you I used to wear my clothes tight and short because I was always looking for the attention. My motive was to get the attention of men.
Right.
Now, it wasn't necessarily to go to bed with anybody, but I wanted them to look, and I wanted them to get a good look. So that was my motive. I was in the world, of the world, and that's the way that's all I knew. That's
right.
All I knew. But this African guy, Kenneth Iwelumo, he's a Nigerian prince, came up to me one day, and he said to me, "Why are you dressed like that?" I mean, I knew he had a client, Dan, who was he had a little crush on me, and I just liked to tease Dan. And I knew Dan was in town, and I wore my shortest skirt to work that day, and a nice silk blouse, a beautiful blouse, but the skirt was just too short. And Ken came to me, and he said, "Rebecca, why do you dress like that? Why are you dressed like that?" He said, "You're a beautiful woman. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. Men look at you anyway just because you're so beautiful. Your character, because you're such a nice person. You carry yourself well. You don't have to dress like that." And that changed my life. You know what I did? Let me tell you what I did. We worked downtown Newark. I left out of there. It was 10 o'clock a.m. I left there, went down to downtown Newark, two blocks from my office, went to Rainbow Shops and bought a longer, looser skirt, changed my skirt in the dressing room, took the tag up to the counter and paid for that skirt and went back to work with a decent skirt on.
Amen.
What a difference a word makes.
Yes, amen.
Spoken in love.
And
spoken
see, it
in
came
love.
From a man, and it came from a man.
My God.
You would not have been able to receive that so forthright from a woman because,
yes,
you know, anything could be her motive. But when a man tell you that and you sense that he's not telling you because he's being bothered by the way you're looking, but he's telling you in love, like, "Oh, no, why would you want to look like this? You're such a beautiful woman," and you sense his genuineness, his sincerity, and that's the message that I was talking about, you know, far as when it comes from the men.
Yeah.
Women need to see that men are not drawn to that. That's not who they're marrying. They're not marrying the hoochies.
Yes, and let me tell you, this man was a known, he was a dog with the women.
Mm-hmm.
So that really shook my world. You know, I'm like,
right.
You know, he was known, he was a woman, he was a ladies' man. He was one of those who had women, he had woman number one through woman number 10. He
mm-hmm.
had, like, he was known to have 10 women at one time.
Mm-mm.
And for him to draw, I know it was the Lord.
Yes.
I know it was God telling me I was different. And that's what we're saying to you listening today, women who are streaming and listening to the archive. You're different. You're not, you know, you don't have to do things the way that the world does them. God is already telling you today that you're better than that, that you're different, that you're special, that you're precious. And that man is not looking for what he can see. A man is always looking for mystery. He's looking for what he can unwrap. And what he can find out about you.
Amen. Amen. And when you do attract a man, you don't, a lot of times women are needing to be set free too, Pastor Rebecca, as you
yes.
already know,
yes.
from things like molestation and even incest, because
yes.
what those things have the ability to do is make a woman or a girl to grow up to believe that, you know, her body is where her value is,
yes.
you know, and her ability to get the attention of a man in that way. So, you know, it's a lot of people just truly needing to be set free and to understand that you're more than your vagina. You're more than your big breasts or your
yes.
big behind or your wide hips or your pretty legs. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. And that's what To Be Enlightened is saying, that, you know, when we have wisdom, what was coming from the inside, gaining wisdom, is more precious than rubies, you know.
Amen, amen.
If we can gain the Bible, that Proverbs that we read 31 says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Yes.
And
yes.
And the fear of the Lord means that we have a reverence for God and we want to please God, which brings us right back to being able to please God even in the way that we dress, in the way that we walk, in the way that we talk, in the way that we carry ourselves, in the way that we do life on a daily basis, to let our light so shine so that the world will look on our good works and praise our Father in heaven, you know, so that people will say that your God is real, you know, that we're not making a mockery by looking just like the world. But separating ourselves from the world. So a good woman is a woman who fears the Lord, amen. And that wife, it goes across the board, a wife who brings good to her husband and not bad. Because like I was saying with that movie, A Good Man is Hard to Find, I was overwhelmed by the way that this woman was dressed, and then seeing the pastor's daughter again, and I was like, this is sending mixed messages, really, saying that it's okay for women to reveal themselves like that, and it's never okay. You know,
it's
we have to go
over someone else's husband, too. I just felt like that was so inappropriate.
Yeah, she really was going all out after him.
We're going to work together and crossing her legs. And he told her, please, you know, can you wear some baggy clothes?
Yeah, see there?
Mm-hmm. Because as much as he loved his wife, he still was a man.
My God.
And so sometimes, you know, I believe that when we know better, of course, we now become accountable.
Yes.
You know, we now become accountable, even though they were working together. See, it just was a lot of things about that movie that I felt like it was just out of the whole situation. It was out of order. He was out of order because he was putting the church before his wife.
Yes.
She was out of order because, you know, she wanted success, you know. You know what I mean? The wife was being seduced. See how the enemy was working on both of them?
Yes,
he had somebody
my God.
Set up for the man, for her husband, and he had somebody set up for her.
That's right. He knew what she needed. And a man can see where a woman is needy. You know, a man can see, he knows what to pry upon when he sees that you're married and you're not happy, when you have those sad eyes and when you start to dress again a certain way to get the attention. So he knew exactly where to go, and he was a player. He was a player. And we have to know we're our husband's crown, and this is a program for women. But the men, they really need to pay more attention to how they're treating their wives, because your wife is a reflection. The Bible says that the wife is the husband's glory.
Yes.
So your wife is a reflection of you. I found that scripture, Lady Renee, is in 1 Peter chapter 3. And it says, verse 1 says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self.
That's
the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, or the King James may say a gentle and contrite spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way that the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. And that's what we have to do, put our hope in God, amen. Be holy women who put our hope in God. God's going to bring us the husband.
That's right. And when the husband comes, and like this is talking about, you know, you don't want, some people got the wrong idea that God is saying, oh, forget about how you look physically. Just cultivate the inner. And no, that's not what it's saying at all. But make sure that the priority is the inner. Because based on what's going on the inside, the outside will begin to reflect. So when you're building yourself up from the inside out, you're going to want to keep yourself together. I mean, elegant and elegant and beautiful for, you know, even if, because I'm single, but I'm saying, like, you know, really you can do, I've been getting into, like, image consulting a lot.
Yes.
You know what looks best on you. You don't have to have the best figure or a particular figure, but you find out about the clothes that's flattering to your particular body shape and body type, you know, in moderation.
That's
how to
right,
wear
Lady
the
Renee.
Right kind of earrings, the right hairstyle for your facial shape, just a bunch of stuff so that you can still even do that physical thing on a more, in a more excellent way.
Amen.
You know,
and Lady Renee, that's that. That's a great point. We have 1 minute, and somebody is actually calling in. So let's see who this is, and we have 1 minute to see what they have to say before we go off the air. We want to thank everyone for calling, for being with us today. Area code 901, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Minister Amelia Cole, co-host of Marriage Talk.
Oh, God bless you. I can't believe you waited until the last minute to call in.
I had to get up and take a lunch break, and so I came back and closed the door for this phone call.
Amen. Praise amen. God. Praise God. So nice to talk to you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Amen.
I know it's the end of the program, but 1 Peter 3:2 is the Amplified Version is really, really awesome in how a woman should reverence and respect her husband. So
yes.
It's probably not enough time to even read it. But
well, we'll have it on the archive, so do you have it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
It says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes. And I will break this down even more for my own personal life when you're reading it and directing it towards your husband. It says to respect him, defer to him, meaning you're secondary to him, revere him, honor him, esteem him highly, appreciate him and all that he does for you and the family. Prize him as your gift from God, and in the human sense, to adore him,
to admire
him, to praise him, to be devoted to him. He's your one and only. To deeply love and enjoy your husband. Enjoy his touch, his looks, his presence, his smile, his smell, just to make it personal.
I love it.
I'm like, oh, my God, I feel that for somebody, Lord. No.
I love it.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Praise
and
God.
And that's how we're supposed to feel for our husbands.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for taking the call.
Well, thank you so much, because you added greatly to the program by bringing that particular amplified version of that scripture. We needed that to end. That was a great way to end the program.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Well, Lady Renee, we're out of time. No, we're not out of talk, but we are out of time for today's segment. Lady Renee, I missed you.
Yes,
so glad to have you come back and join me today.
Yes, I enjoyed being here, Pastor Rebecca, and I will be in touch. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
God bless you.
Up. Amen.
Be in touch. Catch up. I would love to hear from you and come back more often.
I will.
I know the listeners missed you as well.
Oh,
amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
God bless you all.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for today's ministry broadcast. We want to thank you for being with us today, whether you streamed or were on the archive. And we want you to be encouraged and take what you've heard today and chew up the meat and spit out the bones. Amen. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember my sister, oh yes, my sister, and even my brother who's listening today, that God loves you, and so do we here at Woman to Woman on Power in the Word. Peace.